Welcome to Hope Sabbath School, an in-depth, interactive study of the Word of God. I'm glad you joined us today. We're in the midst of a series of studies on Jeremiah. Yes, 2,600 years ago, a prophet of God was used to make a difference in his culture. There are lessons for our lives today, and I'm glad you joined us. We're talking about the last five kings of Judah. Believe it or not, there are some life-changing lessons that will bless our lives today. We're glad you're with us. I want to welcome our team. It's good to be together, isn't it?
Yes.
And I'm excited today because one of our team is going to teach our class. And Puya, we're glad you're going to be sharing with us today. Mm-hmm. It's exciting to see the fact that God is raising up teachers of His Word across the world. Many of you download our outline from our website, hopetv.org/hopess. You can download the outline. You can use it in a small study group. You can open your home as a home of hope, invite people to watch Hope Sabbath School with you. It's all about sharing the good news of the gospel and a God who loves us and wants to give us a future and a hope. We're glad to hear from you. Emails coming in from all over the world, sshope@hopetv.org. Here are just a few. One from South Africa, Andreas writes and says, "Thank you, Hope Sabbath School. I watch Hope Sabbath School every night." So he's watching our Daily Hope broadcast. "I pray this program will touch many hearts around the world. It is a beautiful, interactive Bible study. God bless you all." Well, we say God bless you too. Andreas, South Africa, we're glad you're part of our Hope Sabbath School family. Adanildo writes from Brazil. Any Brazilians? Oh, Juliana, raise your hand immediately. Yes, obrigado. That's the only Portuguese I know. Adanildo writes from Sao Paulo in Brazil. He says, "I love watching Hope Sabbath School and the explanations of the Bible that you give weekly. I've learned a lot. I thank God for the existence of each of you. May God bless you all. One hug." Well, who gets the hug? I guess Juliana must. Thanks for writing to us, Adanildo. We're glad you're part of Hope Sabbath School. Well, on the other side of the planet in American Samoa. And Francis writes, and he says, writing from Pago Pago, American Samoa, "I attend Assembly of God Church. Just want to let you know that your sharing and teaching of the Word of God has been a big influence in my life, my family, and my everyday walk with Jesus."
Amen.
Isn't that awesome? "Every morning when I come to work, I play your discussion of the Word of God over and over because I feel such power of the Holy Spirit continuously witnessing to me the truthfulness of God's Word."
Amen.
That is just so encouraging, isn't it? "I'm so blessed to have the Hope Channel and Hope Sabbath School online to always keep me aligning my life with Christ."
Amen. Amen.
"I love the scripture songs. Please do me a favor. Keep my wife and my daughter and my family in your prayers. Keep in touch with us. We love you all. In Jesus' name, amen."
Amen. Amen.
Well, Francis, your family is blessed to have a father, husband who loves God. We're glad you're part of our Hope Sabbath School family there in Pago Pago, American Samoa. Isn't it amazing what God's doing with Hope Sabbath School all around the world? Here's one from Kalu in Thailand. "Greetings from the Mae Sot Church." That's not far from the Mae La refugee camp. "I hope this letter finds you in good health. Recently, we started our own Hope Sabbath School study in the Burmese language."
Mm.
Is that awesome? We've got we have a teacher today who speaks Burmese. Puya, isn't that amazing? We've got a Burmese Hope Sabbath School class.
Amen.
In Mae Sot. And the person says, "May God bless you in your ministry." Well, that was perfect timing, Kalu. We've got someone that speaks Miso, Burmese, and English. And he's going to teach in English today. We're glad. Here's a note from Daniel. Daniel doesn't tell us where he's from, but somewhere on planet Earth. He says, "May the Lord of glory do good things for you. Thank you for Hope Sabbath School. I watch the recorded program on the internet. The spiritual interaction and the anointing of the teachings radiates in my life and compels me to seek the Lord more for my salvation."
Praise God.
Wow. Thank you, Hope Sabbath School crew. May the Spirit of the Lord continue to guide you all. Amen. Well, amen. Thanks, Daniel. We don't know where you're from, but you can write to us and tell us, I'm from somewhere on planet Earth. And if you've not written to us, we'd love to hear from you. Or if you're growing in your walk with Jesus, write to us at sshopehopetv.org. Isn't it encouragement to hear these emails? And so when you write, we're blessed. But right now, we're going to sing our theme song. If you go to our website, hopetv.org/hopeSS, you can download the music and the sheet music and the outlines. You can watch past programs. But we'd like you to learn this song. It's taken from Jeremiah 29, verses 11 through 13. We'd love to hear you sing it with us right now.
For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will see. Seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you. I will be found by you. I will be found by you, says the Lord.
I love the message of that song because some people have the idea that God's trying to hide from us, or just trying to catch us doing something wrong, when he's actually looking for us. Isn't that good news? Yeah. And he says, I'll be fine by you. I thought of playing hide and seek. Do you know, do you ever play that game? You know, and it's like you're the one trying to be found, you know. That's how God is. He loves us so much. And in our study today, we're looking at some who listened to God and some who didn't. And we want to choose to be like those who listen to God, right? So Puya, lead us in a prayer, and God bless you in our study today.
Thank you. Why don't we pray and ask God to be with us? Our dear Heavenly, lovingly Father, we thank you so much for this wonderful opportunity to study your word today. Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit will give us the understanding that we need today. Be with us here in the studio, and we also pray for all of the Hope Sabbath School members around the world. Amen. May you give us all the understanding that we need from above. And we know that you will be with us because we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. So the lesson today, as Derek mentioned, is the title is The Last Five Kings of Judah. So we'll be looking at the last different five kings. But before we go into the lesson, let's just go back into the history, how Israelites started having kings. Can someone tell us what was the story behind the Israelites wanting to have a king? Yes.
Yeah, I recall in the book of Samuel, one day they came to the king, the prophet, and said, we want to have king just like the surrounding nations. And Samuel presented the case to God, and God said, they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me. And God decided to give all the characteristics of who this king is going to be. And by the way, God even helped them with the first king, and we know that the ending wasn't good. So it was the people who wanted. So this is what I call God's permissive will. God's original will was to be the king of his people.
Man, thank you. So the original plan of God was not to have king for the Israelites. And we will see why. Why God didn't want them to have a king today. And a part of the lesson that we learned today will be that God is merciful at all times. Amen. And how as the book that we're studying, Jeremiah, how he suffered through all those problems. So why don't we start our lesson by looking into the life of King Josiah. Joshua, if you can please read for us 2 Kings chapter 22, verse 1.
Sure. Thank you. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. The Bible says, Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jedidah, and the daughter of Adiah of Boscath.
Thank you. So he was so young, 8 years old. I think we have another study just on Josiah, so we don't want to go so much in depth into about the background of where he came from, but we know that he was a descendant of David, right? Yeah. So he's in the line of the throne, and he became king at the age of 8. But if we look at his family background, his grandfather, his father, especially Amon and Manasseh, they were evil kings. Mm-hmm. The book recorded them that saying they did evil things in the sight of the Lord. Yet, how could this young king turn out to be good? How is that even possible, having an evil father, evil grandfather in the sight of God? Anyone? Yes, Jason.
Well, the good news is just because your family is evil, parent, grandparent, doesn't mean you have to be evil. Each mm-hmm. person Praise gets God. To make the choice for themselves. And God works with us on an individual level. Mm-hmm. And so there are still hope. And I know, for example, my father, he didn't necessarily grow up with the best circumstances. However, he had his aunt who would take him to church and was a good influence on his life. Mm-hmm. And so there can be other people in our families besides just our fathers or grandfathers that can be positive examples of Christ to us.
Thank you.
Yeah, I really resonate with that, Jason, because at 8 years old, you can't do an awful lot by yourself. God has put someone else alongside of this young boy, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So thank God for those people.
Yes.
We can probably all name some, and maybe we should send an email to them after the study today mm-hmm. and say thank you for being that kind of person. Because mm-hmm. someone turned the tide, right?
Right.
Someone turned the natural progression, which would have been, and Josiah was evil, just like his father and his grandfather. But God did a miracle.
Yes, exactly. And if we place ourselves in the shoes of those people at that time, imagine how hopeless it would be, you know? Evil kings, one after the other, and you expect, God expects you to be his people, you know? And amidst all those problems, God raised up a new king. How wonderful is that? Yes, Nathan.
I just want to point out again what was mentioned in a previous lesson, that his mother's name is given in that verse.
Mm.
So she may have been the one that was the influence. And there may be an opportunity for a mother who's listening today to say, you know, I don't know what the family situation is, but I can be a mother in Israel, and I can influence someone for positive change in the future.
Sure. Amen. Awesome. Amen. Thank you for that. So we're going to continue on the changes that he accomplished. Jennifer, if you can please read for us 2 Kings chapter 22, verses 3 to 10. And we will see what discovery that he made early in his reign.
And I'm reading from the New King James Version. Now when it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah that the king sent Shaphan the scribe, the son of Azaliah, the son of Mishulam, to the house of the Lord, saying, Go up to Hilkiah the high priest, that he may count the money which has been brought into the house of the Lord, which the doorkeepers have gathered from the people. And let them deliver it into the hands of those doing the work, who are the overseers in the house of the Lord. Let them give it to those who are in the house of the Lord, doing the work to repair the damages of the house, to carpenters and builders and masons, and to buy timber and hewn stone to repair the house. However, there need be no accounting made with them of the money delivered into their hand, because they deal faithfully. Then Hilkiah the priest said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. So Shaphan the scribe went to the king, bringing the king word, saying, Your servants have gathered the money that was found in the house and have delivered it into the hand of those who do the work, who oversee the house of the Lord. Then Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest has given me a book, and Shaphan read it before the king.
Thank you. So we have a very interesting story here. They discover something at the end, as we read the book of the law. But before that, in order to discover that, what did they do? What was the step that he took in terms of the money and all?
Repairing the house of the
Lord. Repairing the house of the Lord. Yes,
I think
Nathan.
It's really interesting, too, that in verse 7, he said, however, there need be no accounting made with them regarding the money because they're faithful.
They're faithful.
And I thought, what a testimony. Just one little verse where they're mentioned here in passing, and we could easily slip by that and not pay attention. But these guys had a reputation that the king said, I don't even need to ask them to be accountable for the money that I give them for the repairs because I know they're faithful.
Amen.
And that's an encouragement. I want to be that kind of person that can just be trusted. And
Amen. Don't we all? Right? Yes.
You know, I appreciate that too, because you could read and say Josiah was the only one. Remember Elijah, I'm the only one who hasn't compromised. And God says, no, I've got some carpenters and some, right?
Amen.
It's like these are faithful people too. I think it is wise though, and here he is now 18th year, so what, he's like 26 years old, so still quite a young king, that instead of saying, well, I'll give it to some overseer who may just keep all the money and drive around in a fancy chariot, you know, take the money directly to the people who are doing the work.
Yes.
So already you see some wisdom in the life of this young king, but something amazing is going to happen when they find this book of the law.
Yes. Amazing. So, okay. So we have studied about how he was repairing the house of the Lord. That is a very important thing to do. As a result, they found the law of God. It was the book of Moses. And we will see what changes that brings to the nation. Juliana, if you can read for us, 2 Chronicles chapter 34, verses 30 down to verses 33. And we will see kinds of reformation came about as a result of the discovery of the law of God and the book of the law. 2 Chronicles chapter 34, verses 30 to 33.
And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. The king went up to the house of the Lord with all the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the priests and the Levites and all the people, great and small. And he read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant, which had been found in the house of the Lord. Then the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord, to follow the Lord, and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant that were written in this book. And he made all who were present in Jerusalem and Benjamin take a stand. So the inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant of God, the God of their fathers. Thus Josiah removed all the abominations from all the country that belonged to the children of Israel, and made all who were present in Israel diligently serve the Lord their God. All his days they did not depart from following the Lord God of their fathers.
Amen. So we see Josiah bringing reformation, and we want to focus and ask the question, what are the two major things that he did? If we look in verses 33, we see two things. The first one was about removing all the abominations and all the idolatry. And then the second one was influencing the whole nation to serve the Lord. So that is a very important point. And we want to look at how the Bible summarizes his whole life. I believe the end is usually the most important part of someone's life, right? So,
Before we go there, can I just, I think it's very significant that before he asks the people to covenant before God, that he does it. Isn't it something, that's leadership right there.
Yes.
It's not, you people should be doing this, you know. But I'm making covenant before God, and then he calls all of the people to take their stand. I think that's an example of leadership that maybe is important for us in our families, yes. in our workplace. Mm-hmm, right. mm-hmm. Hey, I'm going to take a stand, you know. Encourage others to do that.
And I can imagine, you know, the people of the at that time saying, wow, this is the king that God wants us to have, you know. Mm-hmm. And like I said, many of them has given up their hopes because it was through the line of David that they were supposed to have the Messiah.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And evil kings, how is it even possible? But now that they have this king restored, reformation, they must have been filled with joy.
I have another question.
Yes.
That is, how is it possible that the book of the law could be so lost mm-hmm. that the people don't even know it's lost? Mm. It kind of makes me think about when the Bible was taken away from the people
in the dark ages.
And yeah. they didn't even know what it said.
Yes.
How is that possible? Mm.
That's
they
a good
got
question.
To that place.
Does anyone want to answer that? How is it even that possible?
They didn't even know that it was there.
I think it's the same reason why the temple itself was in disrepair. Mm. They just did not value the things of God, his instructions, his temple, his worship. Mm. And through their own series of idolatry and apostasy, mm-hmm. they just turned their focus away from the things of God to the point where we don't need his temple, we don't need the words, the instructions. And mm-hmm. So the whole thing just lost track of it along the way. Mm. I'm not even sure if they might have hid it there purposefully, but certainly it got lost track of. Mm. But I'm glad that it was found. Mm. Yes. I'm glad that it was found.
Yes, amen, amen. Yes. Thank you. So now we see the life of this king, this young king, Josiah. And he was young when he started being a king, and he brought a lot of changes, a lot of reformation, and we will look at how his life was summarized. Abigail, can you please read for us 2 Kings chapter 23, verse 25? We will see how the Bible summarized his whole life into one sentence. He did a lot of things, and we know that he died in the battle that he fought against Pharaoh, but how does the Bible summarize his life?
Okay, and I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. Never before had there been a king like Josiah, who turned to the Lord with all his heart and soul and strength, obeying all the laws of Moses, and there has never been a king like him since.
Wow.
Wow.
Does anyone want to comment on that? There was never a king like him before and never again. That's powerful. Yes, Missy.
I just am impressed that he was heeding God's voice from such a young age to do amazing things. And that's, you know, something that our young people should keep in mind, that God can use mm-hmm. anyone, yes. regardless of age.
Mm. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Yes, Tricia Lee.
We just sang a song about seeking the Lord and the Lord being found of us. Mm. We were over in 2 Chronicles chapter 34, and there's a verse in verse 3 that says that Josiah sought the Lord when he was young. He sought after mm-hmm. him. Mm-hmm. And so it's as if even finding the book of the law was an answer to that prayer, that when we seek, we really will find, like that hidden treasure. So I think it's just beautiful that his life was summed up like an answer to his own prayer of seeking after God.
Amen. Yes, Jennifer.
I think it's really sad that his life was the exception and not the rule. Mm-hmm. I think it goes back to the prophecy that God gave the children of Israel mm-hmm. about the danger of having a king and all of the temptations that would come from that. Mm-hmm. And so it was like almost that position was too much for a person to handle.
Right.
And it set them up for a temptation that could lead them away from God.
Mm. Yes. Thank you. We want to move on to the second of the last five kings. We will find him in 2 Kings chapter 23, verses 31 to 34. Gloria, if you can please read for us.
I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Jehoahaz was 23 years old when he became king, and he reigned 3 months in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libna. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his fathers had done. Now Pharaoh Necho put him in prison at Riblah, in the land of Hamath, that he might not reign in Jerusalem. And he imposed on the land a tribute of 100 talents of silver and a talent of gold. Then Pharaoh Necho made Eliakim, the son of Josiah's kin, of Josiah king in place of his father Josiah, and changed his name to Jehoiakim. Mm. And Pharaoh took Jehoahaz and went to Egypt, and he died there.
Thank you. Sorry, from now on, you know, we'll be hearing a lot of difficult names. Messiah was, it's easy to pronounce, but now we're going to the hard part. So the first of the difficult names, I would say, is King Jehoahaz, right? Yeah. So we find him. What comes out the most for you? What resonates? What do you hear from this story? His life story, very short. Yes, Juliana.
He reigned 3 months.
3 months. That's really short compared.
Yeah, very, very short. Yeah, compared to
Josiah. He reigned 31 years. Mm. Mm. 3 years. Just 3 months. Anything else that you find interesting? Yes, Derek.
I don't know if he intended maybe someday to turn his life around and be good. Mm. You know, people say, well, I'm just kind of living my life now, but when I get older, I'll live for God. Mm. And the truth of the matter is, he only had 90 days. Mm. 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 You know, live for God now.
Yes.
Yes.
Maybe he'd have just never changed. I don't know. But maybe in his mighty thought, someday, you know, I should honor God. And the truth is, he just had 3 months. Mm. So the lesson for me is, what a tragedy to live you only 3 months.
Yes.
For evil.
Yes. Mm. Mm.
Yeah.
You know? Right. Yes, Missy.
My father would always tell me when I was growing up that you cannot ride anyone's coattails into heaven. Mm. That just because my parents were godly people doesn't mean that, you know, I would just automatically coast into salvation. That I had to work on myself continually, look to myself continually and to God, obviously, so that I could live a godly life in thankfulness to God for everything he's done for me.
Yes, thank you. Yes, Abigail.
Yeah, and I wanted to point the fact that he was Josiah's son. Mm. You know, he was Josiah's son, and we've learned Josiah's character and how, you know, wonderful he was as a king. But when it comes to salvation, you have to make a choice on your own. Mm-hmm. And it's so sad that his son didn't follow his father. It says, though he followed his ancestors, it's talking about the grandfathers and, you know, those that were before Josiah. Mm-hmm. You know, decided to just follow those people instead of looking at his father and, you know, learning how he, being so committed to God, was able to, you know, be named as one of the best kings ever, you know, that came in, you know, the reign of Israel. So it's all about choice. And it's so sad that his son, whom everyone will probably expect that, you know, his son is going to come and do the same or even more, didn't even reach anywhere at all, you know, because of his own evil desires.
Yes, Timothy.
One thing I also realized, which didn't jump over to me at first, was that, you know, the mercy of God, because he still had the opportunity, Jehoahaz, to repent after he was taken out of, you know, his kingship. And that shows the mercy of God, because some kings were killed, you know, in battle, doing whatever they wanted to do, but he was taken out, and he had the opportunity to turn back to God in his captivity.
That's a good point. Yes, Derek.
You know, I'm hearing this, Puy, as a parent, and I'm thinking there must be some parents watching Hope Sabbath School today who say, I just don't understand. You know, I love God with all my heart. I prayed for my daughter or for my son from before they were born, and they just walked away from God. And I'm seeing, as Abigail pointed out, Josiah had that heart-wrenching experience when Jehoahaz, his son, in a very short life, right, does evil. To me, I guess the encouragement is, you know, we tend to blame ourselves, but the truth of the matter is everyone has a choice, like Abigail said.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know? And, you know, while they're breathing, there's still time.
Yes.
You know, we pray for them. We never stop praying.
Never give up.
But even Adam and Eve, you know, look what happened in their family. They were as close to perfection as we had on the planet. And yet one son chose one way and one another way. And so we each have a choice to make. And I guess I'm thankful for the patience of God with us.
Yes.
But maybe a word of encouragement to a parent that says, I think I failed. Oh, the answer is, you may have done all that God wanted you to do. And each child's free to make a choice.
Yes, that's a very important point. Thank you. We will look at how Jeremiah comes into role now as we are studying in the big picture this whole quarter about the book of Jeremiah. So we'll turn our Bible to Jeremiah chapter 22, verses 11 to 17. And Trisha Lee, if you can please read for us, we will see what God said about the rain, what God wanted to tell the people.
I'll be reading from the New King James Version. For thus says the Lord concerning Shallum, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, who reigned instead of Josiah, his father, who went from this place. He shall not return here any more, but he shall die in the place where they have held him captive, and shall see this land no more. Woe to him who builds his house by unrighteousness, and his chambers by injustice, who uses his neighbor's service without wages, and gives him nothing for his work, who says, I will build myself a wide house with spacious chambers, and cut out windows for it, paneling it with cedar, and painting it with vermilion. Shall you reign because you enclose yourself in cedar? Did not your father eat and drink and do justice and righteousness? Then it was well with him. He judged the cause of the poor and needy. Then it was well. Was not this knowing me, says the Lord? Yet your eyes and your heart are for nothing but your covetousness, for shedding innocent blood and practicing oppression and violence. Mm.
So we see the word of God coming to the prophet Jeremiah. And the verse that I want to focus quickly is verse 16, verse 15 and 16, where he mentioned about his father. Did not your father do this and that? And the last part of verse 16 say, was not this knowing me, says the Lord?
Yep.
What was that about? What was knowing the Lord? What was knowing the Lord meaning? Yes, Jason.
Josiah had a walk, a relationship with the Lord. And if his son had had the same thing, he would have done as his father had done, and he would have done what was right in the eyes of the Lord. And God was giving him a chance here, telling him, look, you could have done this.
Yes, thank you. Yes,
I know we're not saved by doing those things, right? But just like Jesus talked about the water or the food or to the person in need, it's like doing it for me. That behavior of his father, Josiah, was what? An evidence of a living connection with God.
Yes.
And in contrast, this evil son is only thinking about serving himself.
Yes. What stood out to me was, once again we find here, just like we studied in the last quarter, about God caring for the poor. Mention again, judge the cause of the poor and the needy. Is that not what, God said? Was this not knowing me? So it's very important to care for the poor. Yes, Trisha Lee and then Jennifer.
In verse 15 it says, your father, he ate, he drank, and he did justice and righteousness. So it's as if it's not impossible to take care of your needs and to take care of others. You don't have to put the two against each other. But it's amazing. It's like you had a perfect example. You don't have to choose between yourself and others. You can take care of both.
Amen. Good point. Jennifer.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that it's easy for Christians to overlook, and that is the gospel is supposed to be transformative, and a lot of people are comfortable with righteousness, but they are not comfortable with justice, which actually requires more than just reflecting on verses, right? You know, you actually have to take up the cause of the poor and the oppressed and the needy. And injustice is a specific type of sin where someone who has power takes away by force things from people that God has planned and intended for them. And as Christians, we're supposed to do something about it. And God is speaking very powerfully here about this special sin that I think we often do not reflect on.
Wow.
Powerful, powerful. Look at how many lessons can we learn from the king. He's waited 3 months. But we want to move on to the third king of the last five kings of Judah. Let's study about the next king, 2 Kings chapter 23, verse 24. Missy, if you can please read for us, 2 Kings chapter 23, verse 34. We will find the next king who replaced King Jehoahaz. By the way, we forgot to mention that his other name was called Shallum, which we read. Missy.
Okay, you said 2 Kings 23, what?
23, verse 34.
Okay, I found it. New International Version reads, Pharaoh Necho made Eliakim, son of Josiah, king in place of his father Josiah, and changed Eliakim's name to Jehoiakim. But he took Jehoahaz and carried him off to Egypt, and there he died. Jehoiakim paid Pharaoh Necho the silver and gold he demanded. In order to do so, he taxed the land and exacted the silver and gold from the people of the land according to their assessments.
Thank you. So we find the next king, whose name was Eliakim at the first time, and Pharaoh named him, as we read, King Jehoiakim. Now, this is the next difficult name, Jehoiakim. So what did we learn about this next king?
Well, he's also a son of Josiah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Probably been a younger brother.
Mm-hmm.
So he also had the same upbringing, you know, had the same godly father.
Yes.
But apparently made different choices.
And he's apparently saying, I better work with the Egyptian Pharaoh. You know, I've got... So was that right or wrong? It doesn't say here, and he asked the Lord God, what do you want me to do? But he seems to be using his... human wisdom to say, how do I strategize in order to make this work?
Interesting. So let's look at how Jeremiah talk about him in Jeremiah 22, verses 1 to 19. This is a pretty long verse, so I would like to request Joshua, if you can please read for us Jeremiah chapter 22, verses 1 to 19, and we will see what God is saying about this king, Jehoiakim.
All right. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version, Jeremiah chapter 22, verses 1 through 19. And the Bible says, "Thus says the Lord, go down to the house of the king of Judah, and there speak this word, and say, hear the word of the Lord, O king of Judah, you who sit on the throne of David, you and your servants and your people who enter these gates. Thus says the Lord, execute judgment and righteousness, and deliver the plundered out of the hand of the oppressor. Do no wrong and do no violence to the stranger, the fatherless or the widow, nor shed innocent blood in this place. For if you indeed do this thing, then you shall enter the gates of this house, riding on horses and in chariots, accompanied by servants and people, kings who sit on the throne of David. But if you will not hear these words, I swear by myself, says the Lord, that this house shall become a desolation. For thus says the Lord to the house of the king of Judah, you are Gilead to me, the head of Lebanon. Yet I surely will make you a wilderness, cities which are not inhabited. I will prepare destroyers against you, everyone with his weapons. They shall cut down your choice cedars and cast them into the fire. And many nations will pass by this city, and everyone will say to his neighbor, why has the Lord done so to this great city? Then they will answer, because they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord their God, and worshipped other gods and served them. Weep not for the dead, nor bemoan him. Weep bitterly for him who goes away, for he shall return no more, nor see his native country. For thus says the Lord concerning Shalom, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, who reigned inside of Josiah his father, who went from this place, he shall not return here any more, but he shall die in the place where they have led him captive, and shall see this land no more. Woe to him who builds his house by unrighteousness, and his chambers by injustice, who uses his neighbor's service without wages, and gives him nothing for his work, who says, I will build myself a wide house with spacious chambers, and cut out windows for it, paneling it with cedar and painting it with vermilion. Shall you reign because you enclose yourself in cedar? Did not your father eat and drink and do justice and righteousness? Then it was well with him. He judged the cause of the poor and needy. Then it was well. Was not this knowing me, says the Lord? Yet your eyes and your heart are for nothing but your covetousness, for shedding innocent blood and practicing oppression and violence. Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, they shall not lament for him, saying, alas, my brother, or alas, my sister. They shall not lament for him, saying, alas, master, or alas, his glory. He shall be buried with the burial of a donkey, dragged and cast out beyond the gates of Jerusalem. Mercy is right.
Thank you for reading that powerfully. We see a lot of interesting points. And one of the things that stood out to me was that many nations will pass by and ask the question, why has this happened to this nation? And what did it say? Because they have forsaken the Lord. And if we read at the ending of those kings, you know, those two kings, it's not a good story. And this is the result of turning away from the Lord, isn't it?
Yeah.
So we want to move on. But before that, I want to ask the question. There were some teenagers amidst this tragedy, amidst this problem, who were champions of faith, that we can call, who became the heroes for a lot of young people around the world, even until today. Who were those teenagers that were raised during this time where the kings, the leaders, were turning away from the Lord? Yes, Kenneth.
I think Daniel and his three friends.
Yes, Daniel and his three friends. We don't have a lot of time to go deep into the life of Daniel and his three friends, but we can expect that they were growing up in an environment where everyone was turning away from God. And how was it possible for Daniel and his friends to be able to stay strong for God? Yes, Ken.
The text is, and Daniel purpose in his heart.
Mm.
You know, and I believe they were in the worst situation of their life.
Mm.
But they know that even when they were taken captive, their faith were not captive.
Mm. Mm.
So someone said, no matter what prison you are in, no one can imprison your faith in God. Mm. You could be prisoned, you could be put in the most difficult situation, but your faith in God will still remain the same. And that's what happened to them. Mm. They remained faithful to God.
Yes, amen. Thank you. Yes, Joshua.
I love the verse in the Bible that says, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Mm. And I can't stress enough the importance of having fellow like-minded friends who love the Lord, just as we should. So if I get out of line, I have a brother, you know, by my side who can help me out and say, you know, you're going the wrong way. Like, you need to get back on track. You know, for me, that was Timotel. And I did the same for him. But, you know, I thank God for that, and I think it's a very important principle.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, Nathan, one last comment.
I think of the difference in the end of these individuals. Jeremiah said that the king would be dragged outside the gates and just buried like a donkey. And though the Bible doesn't tell us this, the historian Josephus says that's exactly what happened to him, that Nebuchadnezzar had him dragged out. He didn't make it to Babylon. Mm-hmm. He died before he was actually taken there when he was bound, and he was just thrown outside. So the prophecy came true. But then think of what God said of Daniel, you will shine like the stars in the heaven. Mm-hmm. So we talked earlier in another lesson about how life is unfair. And yet we can know what God's thoughts are toward us and the great future he has planned for us. And we're going to shine like the stars in heaven if we're faithful to him versus being cast and thrown out there like a donkey.
Amen. Jennifer, please read for us 2 Kings chapter 24, verse 8 to 16, and we'll go on to the fourth king of the last five kings of Judah, and we will study about how, we will look at how the reign of the Israelites, the Judah, came to an end when King Nebuchadnezzar came. 2 Kings chapter 24, verse 8 to 16.
And I'm reading from the New King James Version. Jehoiachin was 18 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 3 months. His mother's name was Nashuta, the daughter of Elatham of Jerusalem. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father had done. At that time, the servants of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up against Jerusalem, and the city was besieged. And Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came against the city as his servants were besieging it. Then Jehoiakim, king of Judah, his mother, his servants, his princes, and his officers went out to the king of Babylon, and the king of Babylon, in the 8th year of his reign, took him prisoner. And he carried out from there all the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house. And he cut in pieces all the articles of gold which Solomon, king of Israel, had made in the temple of the Lord, as the Lord had said. Also, he carried into captivity all Jerusalem, all the captains, all the mighty men of valor, 10,000 captives, and all the craftsmen and smiths. None remained except the poorest people of the land. And he carried Jehoiakim captive to Babylon, the king's mother, the king's wives, his officers, and the mighty of the land he carried into captivity from Jerusalem to Babylon. All the valiant men, 7,000, and craftsmen and smiths, 1,000, all who were strong and fit for war, these the king of Babylon brought captive to Babylon.
Wow. It's a very sad story how King Nebuchadnezzar came and captured. Look at the numbers that he took away. Mm-hmm. Not only that, but he took away all the utensils from the temple. Mm. Imagine that. That was the highest level of insult to the people of God, taking things away from the temple. Imagine that. And that's the result of disobedience to God. Yes, Jennifer.
Yeah, I would just say it's a sad story, but it's also a just outcome. Right. I mean, we just read in the previous verses that they were forcing the poor to work for free to enlarge their homes. Yes. And I'm sure that wasn't everyone, but that was the direction that the nation had gone. Mm. And so for them to expect the blessings of God to fall on them as a nation while they were oppressing other people, that is not justice. Mm-hmm. And so and God made a distinction between people like Daniel who stood for him and people like the king who was the leader in the oppression.
Yes, thank you. Jason, please read for us Jeremiah 29, verses 11 to 14. So we will find here a very beautiful verse. I would say it's one of my favorite verses we have been singing. What message does God have, you know, for his people, those who were taken captive?
I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 11 through 14 say, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me. When you search for me with all your heart, I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive."
Amen. So amidst all this sad story, we still see the love of God, isn't it? God is saying, it's not going to be forever. It's not going to be forever. You will go, but I will bring you back. I know the plans that I have for you. It's not to harm you, but to prosper you. What lesson can we learn from these verses for our life today? Yes, Tricia Lee.
I think that sometimes it's easy to attribute the consequences of our own actions to God's intentions for us. And I love that the verse begins with that though you're in this captive situation, I know the thoughts I have for you. It was never this. It was always something good, always something hopeful. So I think even when we find ourselves in a place where our choices have led us into destruction or into some place that is just awful, we should never look and think that that was what God ever wanted for us. He's saying, this was never it. Come, run to me. Come, seek me. So we shouldn't find ourselves in captivity or darkness and think that we should hide from God, that he was intending this for us. Unfortunately, our choices can lead us into bad places. But I love that God's thoughts are always peace, always good for us.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. We have to move on to the last king. We find his story in the 2 Kings chapter 24, verses 17 to 19. Abigail, if you can please read for us. And Gloria, if you can get ready with 2 Chronicles 36, 14. Abigail.
Okay. And I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. "Then the king of Babylon installed Mattaniah, Jehoiakim's uncle, as the next king, and he changed Mattaniah's name to Zedekiah. Zedekiah was 21 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 11 years. His mother was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah from Libna. But Zedekiah did what was evil in the Lord's sight, just as Jehoiakim had done."
Yes, Gloria, the next verse.
Okay, 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verse 14. I'm reading from the New King James Version. Moreover, all the leaders of the priests and the people transgressed more and more, according to all the abominations of the nations, and defiled the house of the Lord, which he had consecrated in Jerusalem. Amen.
And so we find this new, the last king, who was considered the puppet king of King Nebuchadnezzar, because King Nebuchadnezzar was able to control all his actions. But we want to look at how his story ended by reading 2 Kings chapter 25, verse 1 to 7. Kenneth, if you can please read for us.
Yeah, I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Now it came to pass in the ninth year of his reign, in the tenth month of the tenth day of the month, that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and all his army came against Jerusalem and encamped against it. And they built a siege wall against it all around. So the city was besieged unto the 11th year of the king Zedekiah. By the ninth day of the fourth month, the famine had become so severe in the city that there was no food for the people of the land. Then the city wall was broken through, and all the men of war fled at night by way of the gate between two walls, which was by the king's garden, even though the Chaldeans were still encamped all around against the city. And the king went by way of the plain. But the army of the Chaldeans pursued the king, and they overtook him in the plains of Jericho. All his army was scattered from him. So they took the king and brought him up to the king of Babylon at Riblah. And they pronounced judgment on him. Then they killed the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes, put out the eyes of Zedekiah, bound him with bronze feathers, and took him to Babylon.
It's also another very sad end story. And I believe this is always the result of the actions that we take, especially when it comes to disobedience to God. So we have this story, these five kings. We have traced the history quickly all through the kings, and we see time and time again God trying to reach out to his people, yet the leaders and the people rebelled, and they were now taken captive. But yet, if we look at carefully those verses that Jeremiah said, God still provided them hope, right?
Yeah.
So my last question is, what is the relevance of this ancient story? Some may say, oh, this is just some stories from many, many years ago, thousands of years ago. What are the relevance? So after reading 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, I want us to share our point of view. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. Here, Apostle Paul, we're fast forwarding now in the New Testament, talking about all those histories. Juliana, if you can please read for us.
I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come.
So what is the takeaway lesson from this study today? Yes, Abigail.
Yes, that, you know, we have a choice to make. We are living in a world which is full of so much injustice. You know, what was going on in Israel back then is going on over here. You know, we using people to labor freely, you know, being rude to widows and orphans and everything like that. But if we do decide to, you know, stick with God and follow him and follow his teachings and obey his commandments, just like the, you know, the four friends, Daniel and his friends did and everything like that, you know, he will always be with us. And amidst all the chaos, he will give us hope.
Thank you. Amen. Yes, Derek.
You know, I appreciated what Tricia Lee said so much. You know, Zedekiah's ending, having his sons killed in front of him, eyes gouged out, that was not God's desire for him. That was the work of an evil power that would later be judged for its evil behavior.
Right.
God's plan for us is good.
Amen.
And the message I hear in this story is the song that we've been singing. You know the plans I have for you.
Yes.
But like Abigail said, I have a choice to make.
Yes.
Am I going to follow God's plan, listen, humble, willing? If not, I try to make my own way, and the result is disaster.
Yes. One last comment from Missy.
I just see God's insistent pursuit of mankind.
Amen.
His love and determination to win our hearts. And it behooves us to just accept
and listen and follow.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. It's a great study today. We have looked at the last five kings of the Judah, and we learned a lot of lessons. I hope that we can take all those lessons away and practice them in our life today.
Amen. Thank you so much, Priya. Well, that could have been really discouraging, but I'm encouraged, are you?
Yes.
I want to be like Daniel.
Yes.
I want to be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who said, we're going to honor God in the midst of this difficult time. But I want to give you an invitation, and also to our viewers as you're watching. I want you to think about someone that God has used to steer you in the direction toward God. And I speak to all of us here today. It may be a parent, and you say, well, that's just the way my mom is. Mm. Well, send her a note today. Send her an email. Make a phone call. Or that's just the way my friend, and you put her name is. But I think Josiah was thankful for those that helped him on the course toward God. And Daniel and Shadrach, or Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, as they were called. Thank God that there are people who say, I'm going to make a difference in the world.
Yes.
And some of them blessed our lives, right? That's why we're here today,
yes.
Part of the Hope Sabbath School team. Mm-hmm. And we read some emails today from people like that. And I want to challenge you where you are around the world to be that kind of woman of God, that man of God. You maybe didn't have all of the advantages that some had, but you can be a difference maker because you have a living connection with God and the Spirit of God dwells in you. Can we pray that we can be those kind of people? And will you also say thank you? If you know someone, you say, I need to thank her today. I need to thank him for being used by God to encourage me on the road toward God. Let's pray.
Amen.
Father in heaven, we read tragic stories. We also read stories of amazing victory because people listen to you. And today, we have a choice to make which road we'll take. And I pray that we would choose the road that leads to you. You love us and you have a good plan for our lives. And God, we want to thank you for those women, those men who've built into our lives a desire to seek you. Bless them. May we also be those kind of people to bless the lives of those around us, we pray. In the name of Jesus, amen.
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 Well, thanks for joining us for Hope Sabbath School. I feel inspired. Do you? To be a person who can make a difference. And while you go out, don't forget to say thank you to someone that God has used. Maybe a parent, a friend, a mentor. God used that person to steer you on the road toward God. And then go out and say, I want to be that kind of person. Make a difference in Jesus' name to the lives of those around you.